Could we all rise to our feet? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for how you've been with us today. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in my own heart, the work that you're doing in all of our hearts. And Father, we long to know you in a more deeper, more personal, and more real way. Father, as we consider all the youth here and their dear hearts, Lord, bless them. Thank you, Father, for what I sense in their love for you and their desire after you, the deep longings of their heart to be more like you. I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for what you have been doing in the weeks and months gone by and the years gone by. And thank you for the passions that you're putting within them, those deep desires. Thank you for that. We don't know what all you want to do with these youth here, but we know, Father, that you desire to create them into the image of Christ in a more deeper and real way. And I ask, Lord, that you would help them in those desires. I ask, Lord, that you would take them on into all truth. Father, as I share here today, I pray for a fresh infilling of your Spirit in my own heart. I ask, Lord, for freedom in my heart to share. And also ask, God, that you'd be with all of us here. I pray for every youth. I pray for every parent, every young child, everyone that's here. Lord, we open our hearts to you, and we just want to receive at your hand how you want to prick our hearts and show us the areas where you want us to change. Thank you for your grace upon us. Thank you for being here. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. For you youth, I just want to tell you all, I appreciate you. Thank you. As I've communicated with various ones of you and sense your hearts, I sense a desire after God. I sense that. I sense that with you girls. I sense that desire after God, and I sense that. And I just want you to know that I appreciate that. When our hearts are at a place that are soft and tender and our hearts long after God, then God can move us and God can take us on. And I want you to know that I sense that. I sense that among you here. I'm blessed by that. And I also want to tell you that with some of the things that various messages, even this morning, in relating to parents and authority and some of those things. I also want to just specially give recognition that there are times when youth are in a difficult situation. Parents maybe aren't where they ought to be, and you find yourself in what I taught even this morning, you're unsure how to relate to that. If that's where you find yourself, talk to your authorities. Talk to your leadership in church. You know, I'm endeavoring to teach the word, right? And with that, sometimes I share things and say things that maybe doesn't apply in every area. Maybe you find yourself in ways or in places that maybe need some readjustment. I just want you to know that if I've said things or shared things and you're trying to sort through that, feel free to go to your leadership and just try to sort through things, because Mark doesn't have it all together. I just want you to know that. I endeavor to share here today, yesterday, and today in a way that can help you and not discourage you. So if I've shared things that have been discouraging, then I'm sorry. I've been reflecting back, if we look at the subject here, On Deeper with God, I've been reflecting back over my own life. I've been reflecting back. And as I look back over my own life, there's a couple questions that I keep asking myself and trying to sort through. What are the things that I could share with you that would help you? What are the things that I have personally maybe faced, walked through, that I could share with you that would be of help and benefit to you? I've been just trying to sort through that. This morning, or this afternoon, what I share with you, I've entitled On Deeper with God. What I like to do is maybe just go back through my life and maybe reflect on some of the things that I've personally walked through that I feel have maybe helped me. There are things that I've walked through, things that I've wrestled through, and things that have been a blessing to me and helped me in my journey. It brought me to where I am. And as I share some of these things this afternoon and reflecting back, going on deeper with God, I know that all of you have a deep desire for that. You look long term, you want to go deeper, and you're trying to sort through what will bring me on, what'll help me. I know you're sorting through that. So what I'd like to do is just reflect back and talk to you about some of those things. Share some of those things with you. I've sort of put it into four different categories, and I don't know, is that the right way to do it, but I've sort of put it into four different categories. The first category being a full surrender. The second one, testings, trials, sufferings, and afflictions. The third one, exercising ourselves in the Word. And the fourth one, sacrifice. So I've sort of divided it into four different categories. And I'm just going to go through this. I hope it makes sense for you. But I'd like to just sort of walk through this. And I'd like to reflect back, maybe first of all, this first part here. I've simply entitled, or this little heading I have is a full surrender to Jesus Christ. I remember as a young person, when I was 15 years of age, I remember when I came to the place that I knew when I got converted. I remember on my face before God, and I remember telling God, I said, God, I don't know what you have for me, but God, I am surrendering every area in my life to you. And God, I'm making a decision to follow you all the days of my life.
And God, I don't know what you're going to take me through, but God, I give everything I have to you. I remember weeping. I remember being on my face before God. And I remember there's various things in my life that I had sort of hung on to. Various things that I had had a difficult time just surrendering everything. But I remember on my face before God, telling God, God, I, by your grace, I will surrender every area of my life to you. I remember some years went on, and I remember being married. I remember being a young married man. And I remember we had this little mobile home, and I remember in the evenings going out behind our little shed there, out away from everyone else, and I remember being all by myself, and I remember being on my face, and again, I would cry out to God and say, God, I will surrender every area of my life to you. God, if there are things that I'm holding back, God, would you please show them to me? But God, I will surrender every area of my life because I want to follow you. I remember those days. I remember even in the more later years, I remember very specifically driving down the road. And there's this wrestling going on in my heart because there's something that I wanted to hold back. And God was laying his finger on an area in my life. And I remember, I can tell you exactly on the road where I was, but there's this wrestling going on in my heart. And as that wrestling was going on, as I was driving down the road, I remember tears welling up in my eyes, and I was all by myself in my truck. All by myself. Driving down the road and tears running down my cheeks. And I said, God, I'm willing to surrender it to you. God, help me. God, I want to surrender that to you, but it's so difficult to lay it down. But I'm willing, I'm choosing to lay that down too. See, God is looking for people who surrender every area of their life to him. And there's many that give a part of it to God and then want God to work. But God's looking for people who surrender every area of their life to him. It was my reputation. It was money, our home, our family. Even today, you know, I pray for our children. I pray for our children. We have 7 boys. And as they get older, and God is using them in various areas, just recently, God was bringing it to my attention that, Mark, he said, you're hanging on to your sons. Mark, you're hanging on to your sons. You're going to need to give your sons to me. I want to place them where I want them to be. And Mark, you're going to need to let go of your sons. See, there's so many things we hang on to, so many things that we want to control, so many things we want to direct. As I look back through my life, and I look at what has brought me to where I am today, I like to just say that full surrender in every area of my life. There's many things. I remember I have a business. And some years back, for whatever reason, I don't know what, but God brought this thing to us. Martha and I both, we felt impressed that God wanted us to just sell it. We didn't know why. Prior to that, someone had wanted to come and buy our business.
You know, as men, you know how we are. We like stuff like that. And someone had come and wanted to buy it. And of course, we had said no. Some time went on, and Martha and I both felt impressed by God that we should go to this person and offer it for sale and offer him to buy it. And we were confident that he will, but there was nothing that we had in mind that we would even want to do. We didn't know what was going on. But it seemed like God wanted me to surrender that thing. We prayed about it, and we put this thing out that, God, if you want us to sell this thing, we're willing to. And what we both felt at peace with is if we go back to this person and we offer it to him and he buys it, fine, the Lord will open the door. We didn't know what that was. And we both felt very much at peace and rest that if he somehow would say no, then we shouldn't pursue it further, that God wanted us to retain it. So we took all of our financials and we went to an accountant and we made a price. And I made a phone call to this man and I said, I'm offering you the business. I know you had interest. This wasn't that long prior to that he had interest. We had prayed and he went and he took those financials and he went to an accountant. He looked at everything, and a number of weeks went by, and he came back, and he said, Mark, he said, I looked at the financials. They look good. He said, I took him to the accountant, and you know, and the accountant likes it, but he said, my wife and I have prayed about it, and somehow we don't feel clear to move ahead. See, God uses things like that to test us whether we have everything on the altar and whether we have everything surrendered to him. He does that. He tests us. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 19, chapter 19 and verse 19, I'm going to read, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man, this is a young man, the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. God has a way of coming to us and putting his finger on areas in our life that we're sort of hanging on to. Have you ever had that? Putting his finger on an area in our life that we're sort of hanging on to. Here, this young man, he had great riches. When he came, and he put his hand, he said, you know, what do I need to do? Jesus put his finger right on the issue. Go sell all you have, give to the poor, come and follow me. But he wasn't willing to do that. Okay? Surrender everything to him. Sometimes it means giving all. Sometimes he tests like he did me, like he did us. Have another little heading here, and this is what it says. A commitment to personal purity. A commitment to personal purity. Now, here, some time ago, I was over in Africa, and I was talking with a local national there. That time, I believe I was out in Zanzibar, the island of Zanzibar, and I was talking to a local national. He's a young man, young unmarried man, and I asked him this question. I said, of the young men that you know, of the young men you know, is there any of them, and he was a Muslim, by the way. He was a Muslim. He wasn't converted. He was a Muslim. I asked him the question, is there any of the young men that you know that is not involved in immorality and not involved with women, but has kept himself pure? I asked him what the Quran says, and the Quran says that you're not supposed to have physical relationship sex outside of marriage. That's what he said. And he said he thought a while, and his response was, I don't know anyone. And I asked him, what about the older men? What about the older married men? What about them? Is there anyone that you know that isn't involved with other women? He thought a while and he said, I don't know of anyone. See, in bygone days, that in cultural settings, and in, you know, just like for them, they're in Zanzibar, those things are very prevalent. Where there's a lot of immorality going on. And for us here today, there's a, what I'm going to say, cultural norms, or we live sort of in a sheltered life. And for us, those things are, you know, we're pretty, you know, we're removed from that. I'm just going to say that there's, in our settings here, there's not a lot of that type of thing going on. But what I'm going to say is, beyond that, today there are things going on in a very different way than there was back in the 1800s. Back in, you know, just what I described to you, there's a very different society going on. I think you would agree with me. I was going to pull out my cell phone, and I don't have it on me. Now, would I be right in saying that a lot of people have their cell phone in their hands, and there's a lot of immorality going on their cell phone? Would I be right with that? There's a lot of things going on people's cell phones. And they look at pictures. They read articles. They look at things. And while we would never do what I just described to you, there are things going on cell phones today that are wicked. In fact, the Bible says, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I remember, I think back, I remember as a young man, I remember making deep commitments in my heart. I remember very clearly praying and telling God, God, I choose to surrender. I choose to keep myself pure. God, I choose to draw a line in the sand. And God, help me. God, help me that I never get into any pornography, that I never read articles, that I never give myself in areas of immorality. I remember as a young person, I remember those deep desires, and I remember praying to say, God, help me. God, I choose to draw a line in the sand that I won't give myself. I will never go beyond. I'd like to suggest that for many young people, there's a permissiveness. I think you know what I mean by a permissiveness. We allow ourselves, you know, we would think, we would never do this over here, but over here there are smaller things that are going on that we tolerate in our personal life. And we think that, well, I would never do this, but here's things that are actually forms of immorality, forms of us looking at pictures and reading articles and doing things that are beyond what we know God wants us to do. Where many young people find themselves is they start over here, and slowly there's a shift going on, and there's a shift going on, and this shift brings them over here, and they wake up. I've had young people tell me, I never in my lifetime, I never
dreamt or thought I would ever do what I'm doing today.
I'd like to just suggest that it's right for us as young people to just draw a line in the sand and say, God, would you please help me? God, would you please help me to draw a line in the sand? And God, I commit myself to keeping myself only for you. Keep me pure. Keep me holy. Help me keep my body for you. It's the right thing to do. I remember. Remember that. Flee also youthful lusts. Follow after righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. Here's another one. Here's another heading that I have. I just simply have it this way: respecting authority and embracing brotherhood. Respecting authority and embracing brotherhood. I know I've shared a bit about authority and giving yourself, so I won't spend much time with that. But I would specifically like to maybe focus in on the area of embracing brotherhood. And let me explain this a bit. For us as young people, there's a lot of influence and we're formulating our convictions and things are going on. We're trying to understand life. And I'm going to say that as we do that, our life, the way we know it, is a bit different than it was, what I'm going to say, 100 years ago. 100 years ago, in a local community like this, there are, in a local church, there's leaders in a local church. And God has said that leaders ought to be directing and guiding and having the influence and guiding the church and all that. But today, it sort of opened up to where there are influences coming from many, many different sources. And I'm just going to name a couple. Rather than just your local leaders, where you sit on a Sunday morning and listen to the teaching of the Word and you're shepherded and discipled by your local leaders, all of a sudden, things have opened up and many youth are listening to podcasts and sermons from many leaders in many, many places. Whether it's preachers or secular leaders or various things, youth, many youth find themselves listening, whether it's to the radio or whether it's to other speakers, and they are being discipled by someone other than your local leaders or your parents. And so there is a, what I'm going to call, an influx of information that is coming. And what's happening is there's a shift going on. There's a shift going on, and there's values that are being changed. And many youth, there's a shift in the values that youth carry because of what they're listening to. And there's actually other people that are shepherding you, discipling you, and giving you direction. And I find that many, many people, many youth, lose their way because of all the voices that are coming in. Those voices come in by listening to sermons from churches, from leaders outside of what I'm going to say, sound, biblical, true teachers. Outside of that realm, we're getting information. It can also be through social media. Various forms that those things come in. And I'd just like to say that I would encourage you, if you want a solid, long-term vision for yourself, if you want to go on deeper with God, choose to allow yourself to be instructed by men who are your leaders, men who will guide you in a long-term trajectory.
Choose to open yourself to men like that. And choose to close yourself to some of those other voices or all the other voices that are questionable. And if there's maybe voices that you're listening to that you're uncertain, ask your leaders about that. And make a choice to embrace brotherhood concepts, brotherhood decisions. Choose to embrace local brotherhood. Many youth find themselves with all kinds of inspiration and they end up following other people, following their own intuition. God has made that within the church. There are apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists within the local church. And within the local church, our directives are what we should be primarily listening and receiving ought to be coming from the local brotherhood. Our direction ought to be coming from the local brotherhood, primarily. I don't want to be exclusive with this, but I want to give you a concept. Please be careful with that. I want to go on a bit and talk about testings and trials and sufferings. I'm looking at going on deeper with God, and I want to share with you some of the things that I faced. Now, as I look at the bigger picture of men that God uses, men that maybe God uses, I'm not sure how to say this, to preach, men that God uses in a more prominent way, if you would go to those men and you would observe their lives, those men, most of those men have gone through some very major difficult things. I could name you brother after brother who are prominent speakers, God-fearing men that God is using in various ways. And these men are men that have gone through tremendous personal difficulty. Tremendous personal difficulty. There's been testings and trials and affliction that they have walked through and endeavored. In their life they've gone through major things. And so I'm saying that to say that you as youth, if you want to be at a place where you want to go on deeper with God, and you have difficulty, or if you have difficulties and trials coming your way, choose to open your heart and say, God, what are you trying to do in my life? Open your heart to that. I want to share with you a couple things that I went through. I'm going to only share with you a couple. As a young man, in my upper teenage years, I worked at a large door factory. And I worked there for 10 years. As I worked there, after a couple years, I came into a management position. And I was a manager. And I worked there for a number of years. And through that time, there was things that were going on. It was a growing company. Things were moving forward. And with that, there was some specific things that were going on that were out of my personal control, but it affected the quality of the product that we were putting out. And I talked to my managers about it, but they viewed it as it was my problem. And the short version of the story is that with some time, I was a manager for a number of years, and with some time, it came to the place where they replaced me, and they demoted me, and they gave me a very simple job that I hated. And I remember going home, and I remember laying on my face before God and crying and praying and realizing that these people don't have the big picture. They don't understand what all is going on. And I realized that the next manager that was going to be put in, he's going to face the exact same things that I'm facing. And I remember laying on my face before God and crying and opening my heart to God and saying, God, what all are you trying to do in my heart? What is it that you're seeing in my life? And I remember crying and praying. And I remember walking through that, and it was a very difficult time in my life. And by the way, you know, that happened. They put in another manager, and the same thing happened.
After some time, I ended up getting another job. And by the way, you know, I'm the kind of guy that, you know, I can sort of get along with people. But I get another job as a supervisor, and I start working. And in that company, there was three men that were under me that literally detested me and they hated my gut. They hated me. I will walk in the morning and they would turn their head the other way. I could talk and share with them and they literally hated me. And to top it off, these three men that were under me, they were like best friends with my supervisor. And my supervisor would take them to, you know, to the Cleveland Indians games, and they were best buddies. And time progressed. I remember being on my face before God and crying, and I realized there's a day coming that my job was again going to be in jeopardy because the people that were under me, working with me, they were complaining about me. And I knew that my job was on the line, and there's a day coming that I would probably lose my job again. And I remember laying on my face before God and just asking God, what are the things that you're trying to teach me? God, you know I can get along with people. God, you know the things I'm facing. What is it that you're really trying to do in my life? God, what is it? What is it, Lord? God, what are you trying to tell me? The days and the weeks went by. And there's a day that it came up. It surfaced and it came up. And I knew the time's here. Either they're going to go or I'm going to go. It ended up, the other ones got dismissed. One of them got dismissed, the others ended up leaving. Why do you think God allowed me to go through those things? See, at the very core of it, there's still a lot of selfishness in my own heart. I had a pretty high opinion of myself. I thought I could do things. I thought I had abilities. I knew that, you know, I had abilities. I was able to do things. But God was looking into my heart, and God allowed these situations to come into my life to bring me down to the bottom, to where I was at the very bottom, to where I said, God, I'm yours, and it doesn't matter what comes my way. God, I'm choosing to look to you. I'm choosing to lay everything at your feet. I'm simply your servant, and whatever comes my way, that's okay. God, if I have to face difficulty, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to do that. As a young man, growing up, our home, My parents were not popular. Our home, my dad was the oddball wherever we went. My dad was not well received, not very well liked. In the setting we were, many times our children, or us as children,
Many times us as children, we were the only ones that weren't allowed to do A, B, C, D. We were the only ones. Everyone else got to live the good life, but we weren't. Not only that, I had a stuttering problem. I remember as a young man having a stuttering problem, and it was large enough and big enough that I had young men that were not from our local school, but I would go to an auction, I'd go to places, and I had young men walking up to me, and they knew I had this problem, and they walked up to me asking my name so they could hear me stutter. Why do you think those things have come to me? Why do you think I've faced some of those difficulties? God was looking at me in mercy, and He was looking at what He wanted to do. He wanted me to go on deeper. He wanted to bring me to a place where I have deep surrender to God, a deep dependence of God, where I have everything at His feet, so that the abilities that God gave me, that I could depend on Him and trust Him. I'm convinced that even here, there's so many gifts and so many abilities and so many opportunities that God could take us so much further. But He knows that if He would do that, our head would get so big it wouldn't fit on our shoulders anymore. Literally, if God would use us in the way He'd really want to, our head would get so big it wouldn't fit on our shoulders. And so God needs to take us through very difficult times of trying and difficulty so that we are nothing, we have nothing, and we're totally at a place of surrender to Jesus Christ. There are things I've faced in the church. You know, there's a time when there's difficulty, or how do I describe this? This is before we came to the church where we are now. Martha and I were young married. We didn't have any children yet. And we had deep desire to serve God. And as we sought God with that longing to be all that God has for us, God brought us out of the church where we were. All the people that we knew that we were friends with, God brought us to the church where we are today. And when we came, we had no friends. We literally left family. We left friends. Everything that we knew before this time, we left it. And it was a very difficult thing for us to go through. And yet, very deep in our hearts, we knew that God was moving us to do what He did. Here's some scriptures. This is what it says. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. What do you think Paul was saying when he said, we glory in tribulations? He was saying, you know, some of the things I've experienced and walked through, he said, I glory in them. Or I'm so happy when they come because I know at the end of the, you know, when everything's passed, I'm going to be a much better person. But many times when we go through what some of the things I've described to you, people become bitter. People become angry at other people. People become bitter at people. And we blame other people. We point our fingers at other people. They're the problem. They're hurting me. Why are they doing that? And we blame everyone else rather than having our own heart that we're open and surrendered to God and receiving it at His hand. You know, these little puny things that I described to you are nothing. They're nothing. They really aren't. They're just these little puny things. You know, when I walked through them, they were these huge things.
but they're nothing. Listen to this. If you read the Martyr's Mirror and you look at what some of those people went through in the Martyr's Mirror, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what others have suffered for Christ's sake. What I went through is nothing. Hebrews says it this way. It says that they, those men of faith, they were tortured, not accepting deliverance. There was things that happened. They were tortured. Their heads were cut off. They were crucified. They were thrown into the water. Their tongues were cut off. They had hot irons put on them and branded them. There's all kinds of horrible sufferings. They endured. In Hebrews 11, it says they were mocked, they were scourged, they were in prison, they wandered about in deserts and in sheepskins, they were destitute, they were afflicted and tormented, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted. We haven't seen anything, have we? We haven't seen anything. All right, I'm going to move on to another section here, exercising ourselves in the Word. Exercising ourselves in the Word. One of the things that I did early on in exercising myself in the Word, I remember as a young married man working in this factory. And there's a lot of people from various backgrounds in this factory. But I remember praying, my wife and I would pray and I say, God, would you please help me share the gospel with someone that they could get converted? That was a prayer. I would pray and I'd say, God, would you please help me share the gospel with someone so they could get converted. And I'd pray, and I would pray. And I'd go to work and I'd share. And I remember a young man that I started sharing the gospel to, and slowly he opened up and he opened up. And opened up and opened up. And after a while, it was this close to him getting converted. And I remember saying something that actually turned him away. And he never opened up again. And I remember grieving. I remember grieving that somehow I had lost him. And I don't know that he's converted today. I remember sharing the gospel with another young man that I work with. And I remember praying. I remember sharing the gospel with a young man. And you know, we do lots of different things. And I would... find ways to interact with him. You know, there's this punky fella that I work with, and we're talking about various things, and he looked at me and he said, you've never had a haircut, or you've never given a haircut like this. And I said, no. He had one of those haircuts that was shaved up to like here, and then literally a round bowl around his head, and there's this mop on top. And he said, you've never given a haircut like this. And said, never did, but I'm sure I can. I took him home. Now he said, you want to give me a haircut? I said, sure will. I remember taking him home and he sat in our kitchen, and I had this little barbershop chair there, and I remember giving him that crazy haircut. And guess what was going on when I was giving him the crazy haircut? I was sharing with him the gospel. Had a good place to do it. I remember sharing the gospel with another young man, talking with him, sharing the gospel with him. And he was getting closer and closer. And I remember finally asking him, young man, would you consider coming to our house and praying and giving your heart to the Lord? And he said, yes, I would be open to that. And I remember bringing him home, and he was in our house. And I remember the trembling that was going on in my heart.
and the excitement. We were sitting out on the front porch, and I had the Bible, and I had never led anyone to Christ, and I was flipping through the Bible and sharing the gospel with him. Finally, we knelt down, and he confessed his sins, and he got thoroughly right with God. That was my first fish. That was exciting stuff. That was a blessing. Exercising ourselves in the Word, carrying the burden of God on our hearts, praying that God would give us those opportunities to be an influence, to share the gospel. Exercising ourselves by passing out tracts, sharing the gospel, sharing and talking, exercising ourselves by, you young men, you're sitting in a circle and you're discussing the Bible, the Word of God. You're discussing it. You're trying to understand what the Bible means, and there's a hunger within you that desires after God, and you talk about these things. You're exercising yourself. Exercising yourself by Bible memory. Maybe a couple young men doing Bible memory together. Exercising yourself by praying. Exercising yourself by praying and praying for the needs in your family, praying for the needs in the local church. You know, young men, there's so much that you all can do. But for a lot of young men like you that aren't serious like you, you know what a lot of men, young men do that aren't serious like you? They're out somewhere just playing and having the time of their life, having all kinds of fun, having all kinds of parties and having all kinds of fun. And then there's some like you all that are serious-minded, that love God. You're getting together for little prayer meetings. You're getting together for Bible studies. You're getting together to seek God in a deeper way. You have this deep desire. What do I need to do, God? How can I continue to move forward? Those are the desires that you have. Beautiful things, beautiful things. Sacrifice. There are times when we need to sacrifice. Many were the times that I sacrificed things. And if I say sacrifice, I sacrificed being with friends. I sacrificed being with things that I could be doing. I sacrificed them in order to be in the work of God. Sacrifice. Things that I could be doing, there's a level of sacrifice. In order to go deeper with God, a commitment to sacrifice and lay things aside that we could be doing in order for the cause of Christ. That might mean that there's some older people that need some help. And in the evening, some of you get together and you sacrifice of your time when you could be having sort of fun together, but you go and you help some older person. Or maybe there's some moms around that need some help, and you go and help some moms, or you bake some cookies, or you spend time giving of yourself in whatever it might be. It might be teaching school, helping, assisting moms who are homeschooling, or it might be teaching children, whatever it might be. But you're sacrificing, you're laying aside things that are sort of fun and enjoyable to do things that are worthy and that have long-lasting eternal reward. Sacrifice. Sometimes money, time, possessions. Could be missing. It could be mission field. There's many things, many, many things. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It says, in simple words, it says,
present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, you know what it meant when the Bible says that Abraham took Isaac and he sacrificed him on the altar. You know what that means, right? He literally took him and he tied Isaac on the altar and he was ready to kill him and offer it up as a burnt offering. Okay, it says that we should offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. In other words, we lay ourselves on the altar just like Abraham did Isaac. God, here is my body, whatever you want to do with it. A total surrender. A total surrender. When we walk with the Lord, then burdens are going to come. Now, I'm going to tell you something for myself presently, right now. All of you, there are certain areas that you're strong with and certain areas that you're weak in. Would I be right in saying that? There's certain areas that you're strong in and certain areas that you're weak in. Did you know that I have that too? I have my weaknesses. And I don't know what your weaknesses are. But we're pretty vulnerable. And there are things that you all need help with. And that you are probably at a place that you're fighting through it yourself. You're trying to fight through it yourself. You know you're weak in. You know you're struggling with something. You know that, you know, over here I'm doing pretty well, but over here I'm weak in. And it could be on our devices. It could be personal disciplines. There's a lot of things that it could be. But I'd like for you to consider, what are the areas that you see yourself to be personally weak in, and how do you get on the other side of that? Okay? As I'm asking you here, there are things that you're personally weak in. Over here you're strong, and over here you're personally weak. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you, okay? Now, I'm a preacher, and I'm supposed to have it all together, right? But some over a year ago, God started talking to me about a couple things in my personal life that I needed to get on the other side. And he started talking to me about it. I told my wife about it, and I tried to get on the other side of it, and a year later, I was still at the same place. Now, you're all wondering what was he struggling with, right? I might tell you. Okay? But time went on. God kept putting his finger on those couple areas in my life that he wanted me to get on the other side of. And over a year went by, and he kept nudging me. He kept nudging me to move forward. And I wasn't able to get on the other side of it. Now, you're all wondering what that is, right? You're all wondering what that is. Yeah, maybe I should tell you. But he kept nudging me. And for a year, God kept nudging me. I'd listening to a message, and all of a sudden, there's this nudging going on. There's this nudging going on. And I knew that God wanted me to take another step. I knew that God wanted me to move forward. I knew it. And I tried to, and I pray about it, and I say, God, help me. And somehow, I didn't get on the other side. Now, I know there's some of you that are very, very disciplined, and you wouldn't have these problems at all, okay? You know, you wouldn't have these kind of problems that I'm going to tell you, or should I tell you? You know, you don't have these kind of problems, but I do. Okay? I do. And for a year, this thing kept going on. You know, I'm this spiritual man, right? Some of you probably know Mick Brubaker. I think there's some relation here. Some of you might know him. I like what he says. He says, we're not nearly as spiritual as we think we are. Okay, that's a Mick quote. I like that. That's good. That's a good one. We're not nearly as spiritual as we think we are. That's a good one. Okay. So for a year, God kept nudging me. And I tried to get on the other side, and I couldn't. So I talked to Martha about it, and we're like, you know, I knew that what I should really do is I should have someone that I'm accountable to. Now, when Martha and I talked about who that someone would be, we talked about a couple different ones, and in talking about those couple different people, there are some people who, if I would tell them what my struggle is, they would just sort of love me just the way I am. And I knew there's one brother that if I would tell them what it is, that he would sort of, I'm not sure how to say it. He's the kind of guy that isn't just okay to just overlook stuff. And I knew that I had to have someone that was going to be a little bit rough on me. All right? I knew I could choose someone that would, if I would tell him how it went this past week, oh, that's all right. Oh. But I knew I needed someone that was going to sort of, you know what I mean? Okay, now, you know, in my heart, I sort of wanted to get this other kind of person that was just sort of nice and lovey. But I sort of knew that I needed someone that was sort of, you know, a little bit like this. So I thought about it, and Martha and I, we talked about it. And so I chose the rough guy, you know, this brother that's more like this, all right? I chose him because I felt like I needed someone like that that wasn't going to be tolerant of me just going on. Okay, now I'm going to tell you there's three things. There are three things that I was trying to get on the other side. One of those was, number one, my goal was that outside of my quiet time, that there's a time, and I'm not going to tell you how much, but there's a time that I wanted to spend with God every day on top of my personal quiet time to pray for needs in the local church. It wasn't that I didn't pray, but I felt like God was asking me to designate a certain amount of time every day to be praying for needs in the brotherhood. And I tried to do it, and I could never be consistent. Never. Okay, it's not that I didn't do it, but I wasn't consistent. Not every day, this designated time. I'm going to tell you how much. Okay, that was one thing. This is outside of personal quiet time. This designated time to seek God for the local brotherhood, for the needs in the brotherhood, and to pray specifically for the needs in the brotherhood and in the family. That was one thing. The second thing was, I had a really difficult time. I wanted to fast once a week. And it wasn't that I didn't fast, but I wasn't consistent in fasting once a week. I was never consistent with that. I fast sometimes, but I wasn't consistent. And the third thing was, now you're all going to laugh at me on this one, but I wanted to lose 1 pound a week. I wanted to lose 1 pound a week. Now, you need to give me grace here, but 2 years ago, I weighed 245 pounds, and I went on a diet, and I went down to 200 pounds. And then I slowly crept up to 222 pounds. So I gained half of it back. Okay. I wanted to go back to 200 pounds. Okay. So my goal was to lose 1 pound per week. So those are three things that I was trying to accomplish. And I had a hard time getting that accomplished. Now, all of you, I know all of you are strong and you don't need to have that kind of help from a brother. You don't need that kind of thing. But I did, because I'm very undisciplined. And so that's what I did. And so for some time now, I have this accountability with a brother. And every week, every Saturday, this brother and I connect. And I have to give an account how I have been doing this past week on those three items. And guess what? I have been pretty consistent. I had 1 week, I think in that time now, there's 2 weeks that I didn't quite get it accomplished. But pretty much, I've done pretty good. Now, you probably don't have any personal needs that you want to get on the other side of. But for me, I needed to, because I'm not nearly as spiritual as what I thought I was. And I wanted to move forward in my personal life. And I'm just putting this out to you to help you realize when you get to be my age, you might have to do that too. I don't know what your struggles are today. I don't know. Maybe it's fantasizing. I don't know what your personal struggles are. Maybe it's quiet time. Maybe it's prayer time. Maybe it's Bible reading. Maybe you're snappy. Maybe you're strong-willed and you're just self-willed. No, the girls would never do that. I don't know what you're struggling with. But when you get to be my age, you might want to do that too. I don't know what you're facing. But that's what I'm facing. And I'm not nearly as spiritual as what you might think. I need a brother's help to get accomplished what I know God is calling me to do. I tried for a year and I couldn't get there. I couldn't get there by myself. But as I opened myself to a brother and have this accountability, I've come to a good place with it. That's something that maybe you want to consider too, once you get to be my age. Going on deeper with God. I don't know where you find yourself, but I'm just encouraging you to open your heart to God. Consider. I don't know if any of these things that I've shared with you resonate with you, but I encourage you to just open your heart to God. I want you to know that I appreciate what I've sensed. I sense a desire after God. I sense a love for God and a desire to go deeper. And I appreciate that. We're all here on this journey, and we want to keep moving forward. We want to keep moving forward toward our goal. Now, I'm going to tell you something that is very shocking. In Matthew 25, it is the account of, who can tell me what's in Matthew 25? Any of you? What's in Matthew 25? Matthew 25, anyone? The ten virgins. Okay. I want to tell you something shocking about the ten virgins. Okay, tell me this. Of those ten, how many of those ten virgins had oil? All of them, yep. All of the ten virgins had oil, and the oil represents the Holy Spirit. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. So there's 10 virgins. They all had the Spirit of God. Or in another way to say it, I would understand that scripture to mean that of those 10 virgins, all 10 of them had the Holy Spirit, or they were born again. Am I thinking correct? All 10 of those virgins had the Holy Spirit, and they were born again. Now let me ask those questions. How many of those 10 virgins continued to have oil in their lamps? Five. Only five of those virgins had oil in their lamps after a while. So how many of those 10 virgins were prepared when the bridegroom came? Five. And what percent of five is 10? 50%. I would like to, the way I understand this parable, I would understand this parable to say that out of all the people that get born again of the Spirit of God, and that at one point have the Spirit of God within them, only 50% of all people that are actually born again are going to make it and be ready when the Lord returns. And that's not all the others that aren't even converted. So you all sit here and you say, I'm born again. I'm right with God. I have the Spirit of God. According to that parable, on the big picture, 50% of all true born-again believers that have actually gotten born again, when the Lord comes back, 50% of those won't make it. They won't make it. Now, that's shocking, right? That is shocking. Why do you think that is? They've allowed their oil to diminish, and they've allowed their lamps to go out. Now, I wonder what you're going to do. I want to leave you with that. I wonder what you all are going to do. I wonder if you all... See, it's easy to think, I'm born again. I wonder what you all are going to do. Is oil going to be in your lamp when the Lord returns? Or will you have allowed your lamp to go out? I'll leave you with that thought. The Lord bless you all.